Good morning to you listeners, KDRY. It is a joy to be with you by way of radio, and certainly I'm thankful for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. I do trust that we might be a blessing to you as we bring the message that the Lord has given. Before we get into the message this morning, I'd like to take just a moment and give you the location of our church, our schedule of services, and invite you to attend at the earliest opportunity. The Helotes Independent Baptist Church is located on the Bandera Highway, right at the north edge of Helotes. If you come out of San Antonio on Bandera Highway, you'll pass under the bridge at Loop 1604. From that point, go straight ahead on Bandera Highway 3 miles. You'll find our church on the right-hand side of the highway. There is a side street called Orange Tower. As you turn onto Orange Tower, you're meeting in our parking lot. Our Sunday school is at 10 o'clock, our morning service at 11, our Sunday evening service at 7 o'clock, and our Wednesday night prayer meeting time is 7 o'clock. And certainly you'd be a welcome guest in any or all of these services, and we look forward to seeing you at the earliest opportunity. But now to close out the year, I have a message I want to share with you. Great light for those in darkness. We'll find our text in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. We'll begin reading with verse 12 and read through verse 17. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, let me just share with you this thought, and what a real thought now, just having come past the Christmas season and the day that we certainly set aside and remember with great emphasis the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoyed preaching some messages challenging the folks here the last few Sundays in our church about what the Lord has done and what it means for Him to have come into this world. Now I want to close out the year with the thought of a great light for those that are in darkness. Oh, I'd hope that you'll not let this year pass without seeing the light, without turning from darkness to life, to light, and from death to life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll notice that we are dealing with a section that is called Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, all the Canaanites had never been removed from the land, even though Israel had held it. This area is influenced by the outside world, trade caravans and invasions and various other means had influenced this people. And so they were not nearly as strict as the folks in Judea would have been, and the Judean descendants of Abraham, and they would have been looked down upon by the Orthodox Jews. And so we find that our Lord will make the trip through here so that the word of Isaiah, and you can read of this in Isaiah chapters 8 and 9, this particular region, and we'll deal with that somewhat in this particular section as that section as we think about the message as we develop it here this morning. But nonetheless, this is a region that was in darkness and in great darkness, just as all men who are outside of Jesus Christ are in darkness. Or wherever the gospel is not received and believed and embraced and rejoiced in, there's darkness. The natural man has no light. He does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. Therefore, the natural man has no means of enjoying or understanding the things of God, and therefore he's in darkness. And yet these that were in darkness saw great light. Oh, that great light, of course, being the Lord Jesus Christ as he came into this world. But I want to encourage you now to think about the light of the world. And we see the Galilee of the Gentiles, that's just mentioned here. They saw a great light because of the one who came into their region. And so it is whenever Christ is preached in a particular area, that area of darkness does see great light. Now, there's a reason why they were in darkness. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verses 19 through 22, there we find that literally they were turned to spiritism. They were turned to those with familiar spirits. Now, if you don't understand what a familiar spirit is, it's literally just basically a spirit that supposedly is from someone who has died, that's come back. But literally it's a demon that is speaking through somebody. There were wizards in Isaiah's day that peeped and muttered. In other words, they were pretentious and indicating that they had all of the secrets that needed to be revealed, and they don't have any answer to any problem or dilemma at all. And so I discourage you this morning from ever looking to familiar spirits. King Saul of old, he sought a woman that had a familiar spirit, that he is trying to communicate with the dead. Well, that's not the answer to the dilemma of man, because that is not the source of light. The wizards have no answer. The familiar spirits have no answer. It's been my privilege to be teaching in the book of Daniel in our Sunday school here as of late, and we've been looking at the sorcerers, the magicians, the soothsayers, the Chaldeans that were counselors to Nebuchadnezzar. In each case where they have really been called upon to give an answer that was needed, they have been absolutely worthless. Case of Nebuchadnezzar's dream that he had about the great statue or image and the head of gold, the breast and arms of silver, and the belly, the thighs of brass, and the legs and feet of iron, and the feet really of iron and clay. He had forgotten the dream as well as not having an interpretation of it. He was troubled, and he called for all of these men, the magicians, the ones who worked magic, and they couldn't work their magic. It would not give them the dream. The sorcerers, they could not go to those familiar spirits and find any answers. The astrologers, they couldn't look into the heavens and find an answer. The Chaldeans, the priestly class of the gods of the Babylonians, they could not give any answer, because religion is just as dark as the others are, religion that is without Jesus Christ. And so we have in Isaiah chapter 8, the people who are turned in this particular region, they've been turned to familiar spirits. They've been turned to wizards that certainly have no answer for them and any solution to this matter of darkness. And certainly they were to seek unto their God, or should have sought unto their God, but they did not. They were as the living seeking the dead, and it ought to be the folks seeking light and seeking their Lord and their God. They ought to seek to law and testimony, because there were those that were in places of leadership, spiritual leadership in their midst, that did not speak according to the word. They ought to have sought to the law and to the testimony of God, and they did not speak according to the word. The Bible tells us that there is no light in them. And then in verse 21 of Isaiah chapter 8, we'll find that the results of no word, it means that there would be a great suffering in that particular land. So we see the reason for darkness was that they just were turning to everything but God. And so it is today. There's great darkness in our land because folks are turning to everything but God. They're looking to familiar spirits. Every newspaper that's published now will have the astrologer's report and will give folks their destiny as from the stars. You'd be surprised how many people look to those particular things, and they do not look unto the Lord. And
they do not have light. Folks will still look to those who can work magic. They'll look for incantations to do something for them. They'll burn candles. They'll do whatever that they might have some source of light and some source of supply, and yet they're looking to the wrong things. And so the days of Isaiah are not much different than they are today, really. We have great darkness in our land today because folks are not seeking the Lord. It would revolutionize Washington if they would seek after the Lord. There was a fellow that made a statement the other day that from the standpoint of morality, we're expecting too much of man. Well, that's really not the case, because the leaders of our land need to be moral men and of good quality and character. And they will be if they'll seek after the Lord, but they're not really seeking the Lord in their lives and looking unto Him. They're not speaking according to the law and the testimony of God. And so we see there is darkness in our land. The Bible teaches that in the book of Isaiah, again in chapter 8, that they looked unto the earth. Well, we find that story for us in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. The Lord there tells us of a man that literally sought unto the earth. He was a capable man. He was a good farmer. And the Bible tells us there in that parable that the land of a certain man brought forth bountifully. And his crop was so bountiful that he didn't have a place to put his crop. He did not have barns sufficient. He did not have the granaries to put his grain in. And he finally came up with a conclusion. He said, "This I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns. I'll store all my goods." Well, he did so. He's looking under the earth to supply. And you know the story, how that as his land brought forth bountifully, he stored up his goods. And then he said, "And as though relieved, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry, for you've got much goods laid up for many days." God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then shall who shall those things be that you stored up?" And so it is. As we look unto the earth, we're going to be disappointed because there is a day of accounting and reckoning with God. But folks today will look unto the earth and believe that their supply is in this earth, in fortune and fame or whatever. But I declare unto you that there's nothing but darkness in this world. And if you look unto the earth and unto the earth alone and count that your God, you'll be very disappointed in it, because it'll let you down in that day. Because even though you might have your massive barns and you have your many goods, you'll leave them behind. It was asked of a rich man who had died, "How much did he leave?" And then a fellow with some sense said he left it all. And so it is. You look under this earth with all that it holds, and you lay up your goods thinking for many days and your sufficiency, you'll find disappointment, because one day your soul will be required of you. One day you will meet that experience that we know as death. Separation of the soul from the body, and there is then that accountability to God. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. But in the days of Isaiah, they looked unto the earth, and so men are looking unto the earth today. They're seeking after familiar spirits. They're looking for wizards to meet the need of their lives, and they're in darkness. But there is great light for those who are in darkness today, and that leads me to the point I want to make. Jesus is the light. In our text that we've read from, in chapter 4 of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 13, and then again 16, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali." Then in verse 16, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light. them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Well, we find the story also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Two verses I want to read for you out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Let's read actually verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. All this morning, I encourage you to believe that Jesus Christ is the true light. The Bible tells us, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, there is a distinction here we need to see. First of all, there is a child born. That speaks of the incarnation. But it said a son was given. That speaks of condescension. We don't hear a lot preached on condescension, and especially the condescension of God. But I would like to just enlighten you this morning, because I'm trying to show you great light, that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, it was a condescension on his part. Paul said of him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you not see there the condescension? He was in the form of God, and it was not robbery, or it was not a false claim that he made. Whenever our Lord Jesus Christ would claim to be deity, to be God, he rightfully had every reason and right to proclaim that and to declare it, because he literally is God and was God. And yet, he made himself of no reputation. He did not come to this world to manifest great power in that sense. He did not come to shake mountains, even though he did. He came in a lowly fashion. He was not one who would come at that time and claim a throne, or would represent himself in royal splendor, but he'd come and be born in a lowly fashion. But he condescended. Condescended far enough that he came beyond the realm of angels. For the Bible tells us man was made a little lower than the angels. And so our Lord did not just condescend to take upon himself the nature of an angel, but he condescended to take upon himself the nature of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, what great humility that he went through from his place as God. For we read in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 7, of a former glory that our Lord Jesus Christ had with the Father before the world was. And he left that glory. He condescended. He left that place as God. The host of heaven would applaud him and praise him and extol him as God. And yet he left that to come to this earth. The Bible said he humbled himself, or condescended, to become a servant, and even as then the servant of Jehovah, he would die on Calvary's cross. And so we see a son given speaks of the eternal Son made flesh, the one who was there in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made, who was now willing to condescend and come into this world. That's the great light that these that sat in darkness saw. A child is born. I want to emphasize to you again the truth of of incarnation. God literally robing himself in the flesh of a man, and he did so by way of the virgin's womb. Gabriel said to Mary, "That holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. All the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you and overshadow you," the angel told her, "and you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son." And so it is. The record gives us the truth of the incarnation. And let me say that if anybody denies that, there is no hope for them. I don't care what great preacher says that there's hope for those who do not believe in the incarnation or literally believe that Christ was God. In an interview, there was a well-known preacher that made the statement, "You don't have to believe in the virgin birth to be saved." Well, a child may not fully appreciate or understand that, but he'll not deny it as it's unfolded to him if he's a reader. The truth is, a man that has studied and is mature in his thinking that will deny the deity of Christ, there is no hope for him. He is not saved. You can rest assured of that. That is one of the insistence in that if we must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And that means we confess him literally as he is, and that means that he's literally God in the flesh. So a child was born to us. That's great light. Jesus is the light of the world. He has a precious and a glorious name, we notice, according to Isaiah chapter 9. And certainly it is a name, as Paul said, above every name, a name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We notice that he has authority and power. The government shall be upon his shoulders. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All this morning we need to be aware of the fact that he is, Jesus is, the true light. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, there are two verses I want to read for you this morning and present to you the true light. In verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." This is speaking of Jesus Christ coming, the one by whom were all things made, literally God coming to this earth. In verse 9, we read again, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." This morning there is no light apart and outside of Christ. There is an organization today, a lodge, that in their confession they must confess that they were in darkness until they came to that particular group. That's not so. You're in darkness. Come to Jesus Christ, who is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 23, we find out that he is the light. It talks about the New Jerusalem and that great city, and the Lamb is the light thereof. There is no need of the light of the sun or of the moon, because God and the Lamb are the light thereof. Well, there's a warning given in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 15, and I must close the message with this warning. It deals with the area where our Lord now has presented himself and has come to that region that was in darkness that saw great light. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and verse 15, "And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell." Why? Because light was given to Capernaum, and the light was refused. And there is the severest judgment for refusing the great light. I present again to you this morning the light of the world, Jesus Christ. I trust you'll not refuse that light, but you'll come to that light that you might be saved by God's grace. If you do not, you will not. There is the severest judgment that awaits those who refuse the great light. Well, it's been good to be with you by way of radio. Now, here's the announcer, and he will share with you about our church and our